Hello, and welcome to NDT Now's podcast, GAIN, exploring topics in NDT which affect your business. I'm your host, Mary Beth Michelli. Today's podcast is brought to you by Edify Technologies, the world leader in advanced non-destructive testing solutions designed to always keep you beyond current. For more information, visit edify.com. On today's podcast, we have Dave Seto, from UTech Scientific, here to talk about practical implementation of automation in NDE and the steps towards NDE 4.0. Dave, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Not yet. We don't know if it's fun yet.
I trust you.
So Dave, for those of our listeners out here who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about UTex and your role there?
Sure. UTex was founded in 1992, primarily around the design and commercialization of our ultrasonic instrument, the UT340, which still to this day doesn't have any competitors. So we're grateful for that. And we're also a big developer of software for NDE. We had, if not the first, one of the very first Windows platform-based NDE software packages to do motion control and data collection and data analysis and so on. And some of our, that was WinSpect, and some of our customers are still using it. Today, we make the InspectionWare platform, and we build a suite of products on that to help with automation of NDE, automation of analysis, just trying to make everybody's life a little better and easier and faster. And my role is to take credit for everybody else's work by being the public face at conferences and things like that. I'm also kind of the voice of the customer in our development and design process, trying to decide what direction we're going to go in terms of what people are asking for in the market, whether it's in-service inspections or manufacturing that requires NDE to be done on the finished product, that kind of thing.
Excellent. So you sound busy.
Yeah, it's a good place to be as a company. Everybody seems to be coming out of COVID with gusto. It's sometimes a little stressful because we're a small company and we try to be as nimble as possible. We're grateful for the attention we have been getting but there's a lot of people to help. Things kind of got left behind during the 2 years, and everybody's kind of now making plans and getting budget money and stuff like that, and it's all kind of coming to a head very quickly. Yeah.
And I would bet there's a lot of people looking towards automation, given how COVID affected labor forces and how to incorporate automation into their processes for a more resilient manufacturing process and inspection processes.
Absolutely. I think everything that, I don't think anything is explicitly the fault of the pandemic. I think it just kind of sharpened everyone's awareness of what was already happening. People are kind of resistant to change, and especially in NDE, it's a very conservative business, and there's a lot of capital involved, and once people have spent the capital, they want to make use of that equipment and that software for as long as possible. And there's resistance to change because that means you probably have to recertify or requalify, or God forbid, even change specifications because you want to change equipment and software. So all of that adds friction to the process, and people are already resistant to change in most things in their lives. So there's a sort of a long tail of things that, we've been doing since the 90s that people suddenly, staff shortages, inavailability of electronics, still, like we're still looking at a year for some delivery of some equipment. The industry trying to recover all at once from basically what amounted to a shutdown of the aerospace industry. So that kind of thing has really stressed people, and they're begun to realize they want to onboard some of their NDE. They want to do it in-house. They want to bring it in as part of manufacturing. So that requires automation. They need, NDE experts retiring, people with decades of experience are sometimes no longer available, and COVID kind of sped up that process, I think, a little bit. So young people coming in don't have that level of experience, and that means they need, they need help to make things go faster, and to, they can't be looking at 4 gigabytes of C-scan. They want to be told which part scans, which C-scans to look at, which are the ones that need their attention, and all the other ones are fine. It's clean. It doesn't need to be evaluated by a human. There's nothing to measure in the image. That kind of stuff is starting to become really important.
Yeah, and I think when people talk automation, there's a lot of talk about NDE 4.0, especially over the last decade. But I think it's very overwhelming for a lot of people. And it's almost hard to picture getting there, considering, where many of the NDT processes are right now. So I know you guys are very involved in this realm of NDE and NDT. Can you first sort of tell us what NDE 4.0 even is?
Yeah, that depends on who you ask. But it's probably good to put it in context because it is kind of an acronym. So we are in the middle of what is being called the fourth industrial revolution. So if you think about sort of the history of, manufacturing, the first industrial revolution was steam power, as opposed to using, human labor and horses and stuff like that. So steam power sort of enabled a whole bunch of things to happen, like, serial manufacturing and stuff like that. And then the second revolution was electrification, right? Once we started to have electrical grids, you could put electrical motors anywhere. They're much easier to use than steam power. So, another big advance in our ability to manufacture things. And then the third revolution started to happen probably in the, late 60s, early 70s, which was digitization, right? You started to get programmable logic controllers. You started to get, computers into factories, being able to manage, spreadsheets, data, stuff like that, being able to take your measurement data from paper strip charts and put it into a spreadsheet. So, that kind of stuff, NDE has sort of followed along, right? We used to have only visual or, auditory methods, right? Ring the bearing, tap it and listen to it. Does it have the right tone? Yeah, okay, there's no crack in it. Off you go. And then, we started to do paper recording with flaw detectors, just completely analog, right? Plus minus 10 volt output, that kind of thing. And then the third revolution in NDE was the advent of computers and the ability to collect a C-scan, and then you have a data file that you can share with the customer or with your colleagues and so on. But none of that industry 3.0, automated machinery, and in NDE 3.0, computerized C-scan collection or radiography collection, whatever it is you're doing, none of that is connected to anything else in a permanent and integrated way. And so what NDE 4.0 is, and what Industry 4.0 is the connection, interconnection of machines to each other and machines to a central database. And that allows the integration of a bunch of processes, including, so at the manufacturing level, you've got logistics and raw material control and the manufacturing itself, and then the testing, which might include NDE, and the distribution, and then the lifecycle management, testing in service after the component has left your factory, stuff like that. So in a really advanced NDE 4.0 world, the non-destructive testing part is embedded within an automated factory. And so the data from the non-destructive test is also part of the quality control database. It gets fed back upstream. For example, if you're consistently finding, insufficient thickness of a part that you're supposed to be manufacturing and you're doing thickness testing, then in an NDE 4.0 environment, the NDE machine tells the upstream machines, stop sending me thin parts. Right? Change, you know, that's, and that's really the extent of the message. Change your process. And that doesn't require a human like an NDE technician, an analyst, to go, huh, we seem to be consistently getting thin parts. We should maybe do something about that. And then they call the engineer or the manager upstream and go, you're sending us thin parts, you know, do something about it. So in an NDE 4.0 world, NDE is embedded within automated manufacturing, and the automated manufacturing is interconnected with all kinds of things. And that's made possible by something that people call IIoT, which is the Industrial Internet of Things. And that's basically machines talking to other machines across a network to achieve a goal, which in this case is, you know, better productivity, more consistent manufacturing, 100% testing of stuff that, you know, needs it, like aircraft parts and things like that. And once you have that interconnected capability, so that's kind of the core. And then once you have that interconnected capability, you can layer on top of that some new technologies, such as artificial intelligence or machine learning, right? Because everything's connected and the data is available, not just at the NDE work cell or not just on a hard drive somewhere, because that data is available, you can turn loose a machine learning algorithm then to say, you know, see if you can find a pattern among all of the data from the last, you know, few years that you've been connected, and start looking for patterns. And how do we predict that, you know, certain defects are going to happen in 5 years that we weren't able to detect, that kind of thing. So it increases your ability to predict and control. It increases your ability to do analysis without having to have a bunch of highly trained humans with PhDs trying to figure out what's going on with, you know, years and years and thousands of parts. So that's NDE 4.0 in a nutshell. And it's not, I should hasten to add that it's not inevitable or necessary for every NDE process to migrate towards an NDE 4.0 level of integration. So, you know, most of us, most of our customers anyway, are in the NDE 3 point something area where they have, you know, a modern flaw detector, a phased array instrument, it collects a C scan, they've got digital data. You know, they have maybe some remote control capability, they can automate the setup, but it's not connected to the rest of the world. And it's not necessarily even connected to, you know, a particular factory network. And that may be perfectly adequate. So.
And actually that reminds me that I recently read this article that you wrote about NDE 3.5, actually, and we ran it in ndtnow.com as well. And it was, in the article, you talk more about how it's more focused on bringing some bite-sized practical steps to companies on their journey towards more NDE automation. And so for people who have not read that article yet, can you explain a little bit about what you mean by NDE 3.5 and maybe give an example of one of these smaller steps?
Sure. NDE 3.5 was, you know, it sort of began as a little bit of an internal joke because, you know, we recognize that a lot of the industry is very conservative, very pragmatic, and, you know, resistant to change, but most of them are already at the NDE 2.something or 3.something level of, you know, digitization, collection of data, putting it on a network so they can send a report to the customer. They may include the raw data going to the customer and stuff like that. And, you know, they're interested in, not necessarily interested in change for the sake of change. They're interested in change if it improves their capability, if it makes them more competitive, if it makes their product more desirable because it's got, you know, greater assurances from improved NDE. So, you know, those people, we needed a way to you know, address their concerns about the pace of change and the distance, right? The NDE 4.0 is a big investment. It's a lot of work. It involves, you know, the entire company top to bottom, right? IT, logistics, material inbound material control, part life cycle management, everything that happens around the small core that is actually manufacturing the item or the product. So it's a really big deal. And it's possible for certain companies to maybe not go that far. And so NDE 3.5 is us trying to explain in short sentences that you can improve your automation, you can improve your NDE process, you can make it more useful to yourself and your customers, but you don't have to have this massive worldwide interconnectedness of your NDE process. You might just want to do a little bit better integration with your manufacturing process and make the data you have more accessible to, you know, your colleagues, your direct customers, but not necessarily to, you know, everybody, including research institutes and indirect customers and, you know, regulatory authorities and stuff like that, right? It does not need that level of interconnectedness for a lot of people. So NDE 3.5 is our way of saying some of the building blocks that are necessary for NDE 4.0 are useful to do in and of themselves. And you don't necessarily need to go further. You don't necessarily need to go all the way to NDE 4.0, but it's probably a good idea to think about improving your level of automation, improving the mobility of your data. So what I mean by that is instead of sitting on a hard drive, a C-scan might be useful, maybe not by itself, but with all the C-scans that you've done over the past couple of years for a particular product family, that bank of C-scan data might be useful to your manufacturing people. They might want to know, for example, that there seems to be a pattern in where indications show up. And even if they're benign indications, you know, that's useful information that production people might like to know. So NDE 3.5 is really about, you know, knocking down some speed bumps and reducing friction within a manufacturing organization or within a, you know, an in-service inspection organization, so that the data that they spent so much money to collect, the NDE data, is more valuable within their organization and more valuable to their customers. So, do you want some steps?
Maybe one example of something that can be automated sort of as a smaller step along this spectrum towards NDE 4.0.
Okay. So let's talk about calibration and alignment for a second. So that's a process that is still mostly manual. Maybe I'll talk about an example in sort of metals manufacturing, right? Some of the exotic, not really exotic, but high performance metals that we make for, you know, aerospace and power generation. They have a lot of NDE done on them. And, you know, the first step might be that the billet of metal that's come out of being, usually vacuum arc remelted, that needs to be inspected before you start forging it into discs or shafts or whatever it is that you're going to do. You want some assurance that the material is clean and that it hasn't cracked and stuff like that. So the process of calibrating for something like that usually involves setting up a TVG curve, proving that the TVG curve is appropriate for the depth of material that you need to get down to, and therefore you have sensitivity to the size of indications that you're supposed to be looking for. And then, you know, that process can take half an hour, an hour, if it's a big billet and you have a big complicated TVG curve, that can be automated. I mean, you can have the machine move to the flat bottom hole, punch an A-scan down to it, measure the amplitude, adjust the gain. Let's say it's an 80% value that you're trying to reach. Adjust the gain until you get to 80%. Move to the next hole, do that. Move to the next hole, you know, rinse and repeat, as our friend Paul Holloway likes to say. So just rinse and repeat until you have a TVG curve that says everybody is at 80%. Those flat bottom holes are all pinging back at 80%. Great. So there's your TVG curve. So, one of the parts of NDE 3.5 that we think adds value is that you can now save that TVG curve, you can save the A scans, and you can save the date and time that you did it. So now you've got a record that is auditable. right? So if someone comes along and says, well, how do we know that the equipment was properly configured when you did this CT scan? Well, here's the record. And for that matter, we can actually bury the record of the TVG setup in the actual data file. So the two don't become divorced from each other, right? The calibration information and the proof of calibration can be buried into the data file that is the inspection of the product. So now if you have the data file that says the product is good or the product has indications, but they're benign, you know, whatever the result of the inspection is, the proof that the inspection was done correctly can be buried in the data file. And we've been able to do that for a long time. But it's only in the last, 5 years or so that people have begun to ask for it. And that's what we call NDE 3.5. So it's not just that, you know, there's a process that says the operator is supposed to calibrate the equipment and set up the TVG curve. Now, you know, so that would be NDE 2 or 3. Now we're saying automate that so it goes faster. And then as part of the automation, save the result of the calibration so that it gets dumped in with the data file. And now you've got an audit trail. So your audit process becomes easy then. You know, if the purchaser of said metal comes back to you and says, can we see the inspection results? You not only have the inspection results, but you can go one step further. You can prove that the inspection was correctly configured. Alignment's kind of the same thing, right? If your alignment is off, if you're using an automated machine with a probe that whose angle can be adjusted, if the probe angle is not correct, you're especially on a round billet, you're going to skip off the surface, and you aren't inspecting the thing that you think you're inspecting, right? Especially with round billets, if you're not top dead center, you are going to lose sensitivity in a big way very quickly. So part of calibration should be automating the alignment as well, or at least the check of the alignment. So you can, you know, in the same automated way, you can drive the scanner over to the billet. You can do whatever it is you need to do to prove that you're correctly aligned. So in the case of a round billet, do you have good back wall echo? Verify that your back wall is consistent. And then you can document that, right? So the check for the back wall, the check for the correct probe frequency, because a lot of materials, the quality specifications include a frequency, a specific frequency of probe that you're supposed to use, a specific water path that you're supposed to use. Any of those things that are called out in the specification for the NDE process can be checked very, very quickly, like seconds. And then the result of that can be pushed into a data file. And then, you know, your audit trail just keeps getting better and better. You have more and more confidence that your equipment is set up, that it's doing its job. And then when the customer comes to you, their level of trust and their level of confidence in you and your product and your ability to inspect it just keeps getting better and better. You know, it's almost for free. If you're going to upgrade your software, adding this capability is relatively trivial with modern software and modern instruments. So, you know, it really is a why wouldn't you want that kind of situation?
Yeah, and it cuts down on mistakes and fraud. I mean, to put it simply, right?
Yeah, I was just talking to some students from Mohawk College here in Canada. They're part of the Canadian Institute for NDEs program for training new NDE techs. And we had, you know, they already do have a course on ethics. With reference to non-destructive testing. And we talked about that a little bit as part of what NDE 4.0 does. I mean, I suppose if someone is intending to be fraudulent, there are probably, you know, if they're thinking about it, there are probably ways that they can circumvent your controls, but you want to add some friction to it. And I think in recent cases, you know, we've seen a couple of cases where the fraud has gone on for decades. And it's really a failure of management. And I'd hesitate to say it, but I think it's a little true that it's a failure of the customer to demand a higher level, a higher quality of audit. Mm-hmm. So, if someone puts a stamp on a paper sheet that goes with the material and says, here's your batch number. And there's a checkbox that says it was ultrasonically inspected. And there's a checkbox that says we found nothing. And someone's put their name to it, you know, and that inspection wasn't done. Then, that material goes out into the world and gets made into something that, you know, might be safety critical. So with automation, you remove the friction, you make it instantaneous, you know, the way like we're used to instant gratification with all the apps that are available to us on the web today. So why would we not ask for that in non-destructive testing? If you buy a $40 microphone, let's say on Amazon, how does it sound, by the way? If you buy a $40 microphone, you are going to get instantaneously a record of your purchase order. You're going to get an update that says it will be shipped in 2 days. When it ships, you're going to get the update. You're going to get a tracking number. When the thing arrives, you're going to get a notice that says your thing has been delivered. Go check your front door. And then you're probably going to get a follow-up that says, how did you like it? So we can do that with a $40 item. Why would we not expect that when you're going to buy $1 million forging, right? Or, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of aircraft parts? Why would you not expect that level of, customer service for one, but also because these are safety critical components and materials, why would you not expect that level of verification, assurance that we're at this step in the process, we have done the following, and here is the record of it being done? I mean, there should be no barrier to doing it. There should be no expectation that it would be any other way, right? This part number, this batch number is currently in the tank being tested. We can poke that message to a database. The client who's expecting that material, who has a purchase order for that material, could get an instantaneous email update saying, yep, your forging's been made. It's in ultrasonic testing. And that might be, you know, creeping towards NDE 4.0 level of integration, because that's a logistics and a material control function that is part of manufacturing 4.0. But we don't even necessarily have to go there. But we should be able to say to the client, okay, your material is going to ship in 2 days, or your forging is going to ship in 2 days. Here is the record of its inspection. That's the very least that we should be doing. Here's your part. Here's your data. Here's the proof that it was done well, and that we've tested it, and that the test shows we're good to go. If you want to put a cherry on top of that, here's your part, here's the proof that we tested it, and here's the proof that we set up the test correctly. And that's what we're talking about with NDE 3.5 automation. It's like the old ISO 9000 standards, right? That seem to be falling out of popularity. Say what you're going to do, do it, and then prove that you did it. So, that's NDE 3.5 in a nutshell.
Well, that's all very interesting. And I fully agree that that's the least we should be doing at this point. And we sort of alluded to this at the beginning. My next question has to do with, you know, sort of this post-COVID era, and capital budgets are a little more conservative right now. It seems that if we could retrofit an existing system, and maybe that's a way to achieve more automation and more cost savings on labor while keeping the majority of the capital equipment and improved processes in place. Is that something you guys are seeing out there in the marketplace? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. We're seeing heavy demand for exactly that. And it's not even so much the capital that you save. That's a factor for sure. It's time. If you have a, you know, like we'll keep talking about the metals industry or even the aerospace industry, you have big equipment bolted into the floor, or maybe it's cemented into a pit in the floor, and you've got plumbing and you've got electrical infrastructure, and you know, it's a big hairy deal. One, especially in post-COVID, find a company who has time to get to you to help you dig that stuff out and drop in a new tank. You're easily a year away. If you signed a purchase order today for, you know, a big piece of NDE equipment, you're a solid year away from seeing it. And then if, let's say, you're going to put it in place of the old one, you've got to take the old one out, which involves civil infrastructure usually, electrical, plumbing, stuff like that. So there's time and cost, and you're going to be shut down. You can't inspect parts while the old tank's being ripped out. And then when the new tank comes in, there's time and cost. It takes weeks, months sometimes to put in a big NDE system. So if you've already got the infrastructure there, you've already got a tank and it's not leaking. Well, if it is leaking, you can patch it. There's this stuff called Flex Tape on TV. I've heard it's really good for patching tanks. Anyway, the time saving is not to be underestimated. You can upgrade motors, you can upgrade a controller, you can build all that stuff off site, you can bring it to site. And because you're not changing the big civil infrastructure part of it, the tank, the plumbing, the electrical, you can be so much faster. So the amount of time that you are down and unable to inspect product is shrunk probably to the minimum that is reasonable to achieve. So that gives you some assurance. It gives you the ability to plan better because your customers who are depending upon you to ship metal don't want to see a giant, it wouldn't be as long as a year, but it would be a months long pause before you could ship inspected product back out again if you were tearing out an old system and putting in a new system. So time's a big deal. Yeah, capital cost is a little bit smaller. If you get really lucky, it might be half. Usually it's around two thirds to do, a full upgrade with new computers, new control systems, modern PLCs and stuff like that. And the thing that I think people also like is the flexibility. And that's something that we've begun to see people respond to. When you have a vertically integrated piece of NDE software, it works with these instruments, it works with these controllers. That's what you must use if you want to use that software to inspect the part. So you tend to get, vertical specialization. There's quite a few companies have been around in the NDE community for a long time, and they're vertically integrated. They write their own software. They build their own scanning systems. They produce their own controllers. It isn't like a buffet or a smorgasbord. You're buying that thing and it's like buying an iPhone. You're in the ecosystem and it only works with the compatible accessories, usually from the same company. Or you can, be in a different ecosystem like, Android phones. They're a little bit more open in the sense that, there are more people making apps for them and stuff like that, but it's still kind of an ecosystem of its own. And so, to sort of continue along that model, there are some people who offer phones that you can hot rod yourself. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that, but just different ways of thinking about your systems. So factories tend to be in an ecosystem, right? They tend to be a Siemens shop. All the machines that make stuff are controlled by a Siemens PLC, because that's what their engineers and technicians are familiar with, and they don't want to invest the time to broaden out to, Allen Bradley or Beckhoff or some other brand of motion controller or a programmable logic controller. So companies tend to have an ecosystem that is kind of consistent, right? You'll see a factory full of KUKA robots. Across the street, you'll see a factory full of FANUC robots. It's weird if your NDE system has to be a FANUC robot in a KUKA factory, right? Because it's odd, and then people have to exert effort to get on top of it and manage it and maintain it. And it's different enough from everything else that they do that there tends to be, usually a single person, a specialist, and he's the only person who can understand that particular robot. And so your NDE system now begins to be isolated because it's not within the ecosystem that is native to your factory. So what we've tried to do to address that is make the suite of products that we have, the IW scan, is sort of bound within its job to manage an instrument and collect data. It's not supposed to do motion control. So we make that the function of the Automate software, where you can use whatever controller you're happy with, whether it's Siemens or Beckhoff or Allen Bradley, you can use whatever robot you're happy with. And then to automate the process, we just have this handful of commands that get handshook back and forth to tell the scan software, get ready for a scan, load your configuration file, go scan the calibration standard. Great. Come back, scan the product, save that file, you know, go back to the beginning, rinse and repeat, scan the cal standard, scan the product, off you go. And so because we've made it modular, you can stay within your ecosystem, right? If you want to keep using the same robots for your NDE process, you don't have to have a particular controller. You can retrofit your old vertically integrated NDE tank, let's say, that has, I don't know, an obscure controller that's now obsolete. And you can put a modern controller on it that your technicians already know how to use. So I don't know, let's say it's a Siemens controller. You go and get a Siemens controller. Your NDE system is now fully compatible with your factory. And we, as the data collection engine, don't care what the controller is. We need a handful of commands, right? Go here, start collecting, go there, start collecting. We're done, save the data file. So that's really the job of the NDE software. The NDE software shouldn't be trying to do complicated motion control. If you already have people who know how to do that, and you already have controllers that you like to use to accomplish that task, why would we insist that you have to use our way of doing it? And that's a big part of what people are using us in retrofits for. Once they've made the decision that they have to upgrade, they find, I think, it a little bit more palatable that they can, you know, use their local automation contractor to do the motion control part of the upgrade and the automation part of the upgrade. And then we provide software that's compatible with whatever it is that they're using to control their NDE process. And that, you know, that's also part of NDE 3.5, right? Being integrated into the factory is much, much easier when you're flexible, when you meet people where they are, right? You meet people sort of halfway. If they already know how to do motion control and they already know how to do automation, and there's a particular set of equipment that they want to use, by all means, go ahead. Happy to meet you where you are. We'll take care of the instrument. We'll take care of handshaking with whatever controller you have on the other side. Done. And it's so much faster. And the end result is better because you don't have to train people how to use a weird motion controller.
Yeah, and I think there's probably some benefit of having, you know, NDE folks, you know, do the NDE software instead of trying to have people who are used to doing motion control try to rig up some software to make the NDE work as well.
Absolutely. We are big fans, believers, I hesitate to say evangelists even, for not making NDE people have to be robot people, not making robot people have to learn NDE. Exactly. It's a team sport now. It didn't used to be a team sport. There's the NDE tank and the NDE tank operator. And then the NDE is something that happens to your product after you've manufactured it. And that's no longer the case. You cannot really get away with that in a modern manufacturing environment. Most of the customers we deal with are already well down the road of integrating NDE into their processes. And, you know, some of these are pretty big, right? Like aircraft fuselage and spacecraft fuselage and stuff like that. You can't inspect that by hand. You can't really inspect it without using automation. And you can't expect a NDE level 2 or 3 who's got, you know, a decade or more experience and is exactly the person you need to evaluate the quality of this, you know, complex carbon fiber structure. You can hire that person, and then what, you're not going to use them for 2 years while you teach them how to run a robot? That doesn't sound like a good business plan to me. So, you know, modern NDE, it is very, very much a team sport. I was explaining to the kids, I call them kids because I have shoes older than some of these students. The young adults who are the future of NDE in Canada, we're kind of worried about that. Like, do I have to learn how to be a robot designer? And the answer is no, because it's your job to run the robot. The robot is basically your hands, right? Instead of you crawling into a wet tank or something that, you know, previously had toxic material in it, you just have to stand at the access cover and put a robot in there, and then you drive it like an Xbox. It's like Mario Kart for professionals. So, you know, but you have to be, you know, in the same way that, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, right? Everybody put on their resume that they were adept with Microsoft Office, because that's the expectation, right? If you're a professional in any kind of field, you have to be able to understand how spreadsheets work, and you have to be able to type a decent cover letter and stuff like that. So everybody puts Microsoft Office proficiency on their resume. The expectation is the same now for being able to use an automated piece of equipment. You don't have to design the equipment. You don't have to know about the circuit boards and the tech that runs the inside of it. You don't even have to know about servo motors and servo tuning. You just have to know that, you know, how to set up the equipment so that it does what you want. It puts the probe in the right place and gives you good data. And it's instead of you standing there scrubbing a surface by hand with a probe and a squirt bottle full of couplant, you're going to send a robot in there to do that job. And that's kind of the future, especially in service inspection, right? We want people not to be in hazardous environments or even sort of unpleasant environments. You know, we want people to be out in the sunshine driving a robot into the tank. It's a much more pleasant working environment. And frankly, it's kind of what young people are expecting, right? They have grown up as, you know, complete digital natives, right? They weren't outside playing ball in the sandlot. They were inside playing video games. So they already are pretty adept at using, two-handed joystick controllers with three buttons or four buttons or five buttons on them to achieve a relatively complicated task in a virtual environment. So, you know, they're already kind of skilled up for taking care of something like a complicated robot that's got to get inside a restricted access thing and inspect it. It's quite exciting, actually.
Yeah. And on the flip side of things, we often try to stress to the students that even though they know how to use the robots or they know how to use a drone or something like that, they need the education in NDE and in wave propagation and to understand if they are getting good data from the robot, from the automated system, because you can't just throw anybody in there, because they need to understand what that data actually means. Does it make sense? And how does that fit in with the NDE of whatever part that we're inspecting?
Absolutely. And that's where, you know, it's really important that we take advantage of the depth of knowledge that we have in people who are getting ready to retire out of the industry, right? There's a lot of tribal knowledge that predates the internet. Mm-hmm. I would love to see a way to capture that. And I think, you know, one of the ways to do it might be a mentorship program, right? And we tend to have that, at least in Canada, you first get out of college with your certificate, you don't have a certificate yet, but you have a diploma. In order to get your certificates, you have to have a certain number of hours in practical hands-on application. And I think that's really, really valuable. You know, co-op jobs, hands-on with someone who has experience, even if it's manual and not, you know, it's not the sexy robot, you're down in a muddy trench. That's fine. It's all good experience. And I think it might be the best way to move that tribal knowledge from the generation that is getting ready to retire. And, it's a fairly big cohort, actually. And that's missing, I think. I know the educational institutions are trying hard to, keep that core knowledge. But the further we go in time, I think, the more things we have to be aware of. We didn't have to worry about computers when we were in high school. We didn't have to know how they work and how to interact with them and, how to use them to our advantage. And now you have to add that on top of the knowledge of NDE physics and the requirements that you're supposed to meet and what makes for a good setup and what makes for a poor setup and how to troubleshoot and stuff like that. So, you know, we're actually adding knowledge to the stack that people have to digest before they can become competent professionals. I really would like to see, that continue. The tribal knowledge that we have that, you know, predates what's available on the internet somehow gets passed down to this generation so that, you know, they get everything they need to be successful. And I think they are. I was really impressed yesterday with you know, just chatting to the students. They're engaged. They're up for it. They're looking forward to you know, doing an excellent job and having fun with, you know, modern technology that's going to make NDE better in the long run. I mean, you couldn't ask for more, right? It's a people business. You're dependent upon people to do a good job. You know, be nimble, be innovative. Be diligent and, you know, get you the data that you need to prove that whatever it is, you know, bridges, airplanes, power stations, that they're in good shape and they're in good hands. And yeah, I'm quite confident yesterday after talking to the students that they're, you know, they're up for it and they're looking forward to it. It was heartening.
Well, that's great to hear. I don't want to let you go today without talking a little bit. You know, we've talked a lot about factory automation today, but can you talk a little bit about the NDE 3.5, the NDE 4.0, some ways that kind of stuff can be implemented into field NDT, not just manufacturing?
Sure. It's already happening. I think field inspection, especially in places like oil and gas and power stations, they're already well down that road. So, you know, there are companies out there like Floodlight Software is one of them who specialize in managing NDE campaigns, right? And you can't do that without some pretty sophisticated and specialized software. So, you know, those parts of the interconnectedness of NDE 3.5 or NDE 4.0 are already well underway at the field level. So when you go out to the field, you know, your data can be uploaded to the cloud, your configuration can come from the cloud, your job instructions, you know, where are you going, what component are you going to inspect, what type of inspection needs to be done, right? Are you looking for corrosion? Are you doing corrosion mapping? Are you doing corrosion under pipe support, whatever it is? All of that stuff can be fed to your instrument and your laptop. You can upload the data immediately. And the job planning and the job management, there's a, you know, supervisory piece of software that's already handling all of that. And then all of the stakeholders, right? The contractor who's doing the inspection, the owner of the asset, the engineering company that's managing the campaign to do the outage and do the maintenance and the inspections, everybody has access to the data almost instantaneously. And that's pretty exciting. It used to be that these things would, you know, the data would get done, someone would look at it and go, yeah, we're good. And then the data disappears into a box and, you know, the asset owner might just get a report and then they have to dig for the data. They have to dig to get the raw information. And so, you know, NDE 3.5 and, you know, eventually if you want to go all the way to NDE 4.0, all of that is about reducing friction in the system, right? Reducing the friction between individuals who have a stake in what that data means. And that's happening, and it's happening in a big way in field automation. You know, even stuff like geotagging, for example, right? Like people's phones have been geotagging for well over a decade. So you can take a picture and you know exactly where you are on the planet when you take that picture. And NDE data can be the same, right? You know exactly where the instrument was, the probe was, when that picture, for lack of a better word, the C-scan was taken. So now you can put that data in and now you can search through geotags, right? I would like to see all of the data from this particular installation, right? So everything within a particular radius of a certain geolocation, you know, the C-scans can just be fed to you. Like you'd never be able to do that. You know, even maybe 5 years ago, that was kind of a big ask. And now it's trivial. Or it should be trivial, right? There's no reason that you can't have the level of technology, the level of access, the level of ease that we have come to expect from our civilian devices, right? Our cell phones, our iPads. There's absolutely no reason you can't demand that in your NDE data. I want it instantaneously available, no matter where I am on the planet. As long as I'm authorized. I want to be able to filter it and search it by certain things. I don't know, type of asset, type of inspection, location of asset, right? All that kind of stuff. It's basically there waiting to be done. And I think, there are companies out there that are well underway providing services with that level of utility and ease of use. And, it should be a joy, right? It shouldn't be a chore to go get the data for, the plant that you've just had inspected.
For sure. And absolutely. There's some really great strides over the last 5 years in that kind of data that's being utilized, certainly on the geotagging side. So, and I know you and your team have made a tremendous impact on the industry, bridging that gap between the future of NDE automation and the reality of where we are as an industry, and, sort of mapping out the steps that one can take on that journey to get there, regardless of sort of where you are financially or in that zone of whether you're ready to make big steps. I know you guys have really helped out a lot of folks in the in-between, and then also making those big steps. So I know the industry really, really appreciates you guys being very practical about this NDE 4.0 journey.
Thank you. It's one of our tenets, actually. It's, one of our founding principles to be helpful. We think that, there's quite a mosaic, right? The NDE is not one thing. And that means different segments of the NDE community need different things, right? Making components for power generation in a big factory is different than doing field inspection on that same component when it's, been in service for a few years. Those are related but different things, and those people need different things. So yeah, we've tried to be flexible and helpful. We occupy a fairly small niche. I'm not sure how big an impact we've had, but we take it seriously that people put their trust in us, and they need help to solve a problem. And whether that's, automation or analysis or just improving their productivity and upgrading old systems. Yeah, our starting principle is to be helpful and then to get them what they need and ask the right questions. People forget that that's the beginning of everything. If you don't ask the right questions, you're not going to get the right answers. So, we don't know all things about all aspects of NDE. We depend upon the customers to declare what it is that they need. And we don't expect that they would necessarily know what's available to them, what's possible. So, a person who's got 20 years of experience in a particular area of NDE doesn't necessarily know what's possible now with modern computing and modern software and things like that. So we have to have a conversation. We have to ask each other questions, and we have to figure out what it is that they really need, and maybe what it is that we can offer to make that happen for them.
So. Absolutely. And of course, that's one of the reasons that we have this podcast, so people can hear about what's available, what's out there, what are the trends. So Dave, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
And thank you all for listening. Remember to join us every month here at ndtnow.com, brought to you by Edify Technologies. Learn more at edify.com.